you're listening to Chaos on the Set, a chaotic TV and film review podcast, and it is Lost season 3 finale time. We are back with your Lost crew. I'm Shruti.
I'm Mike.
And I'm Priya.
Priya and Mike, if you don't remember, are watching Lost for the very first time, so they have just watched up to the season 3 finale and not a minute more. I mean, I feel like we just have to dive into it because it's such a crazy finale, but before we go into it, I just want to set the stage for 2007, because a fact that I learned late in the game, I didn't learn this fact until after I had finished Lost, which is when the Sopranos series finale aired, 3 months before that is when this episode of television you just watched aired. They both came out in 2007, which is a fact that boggled my mind when I first found out, because in my head, the Sopranos came out like in the 90s, and the Sopranos came out, and Lost came out in the early aughts, which are both true facts, but they still obviously overlap, but in my mind, they just never overlapped. And I know Brita is watching the Sopranos for the first time, and it is just interesting to know, oh, while I'm watching the show, these two shows that are very important in TV history were airing consequently.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I feel like The Sopranos does feel a lot more old school to me. I'm curious if, as I get to later seasons of Sopranos, if it starts to feel more similar to Lost, but Lost definitely feels a lot more cutting edge and Sopranos feels more traditional. I don't know if you guys agree with that.
They're just two different, I feel like, eras of television. It feels like, you know, like The Sopranos is like the prestige HBO.
Mm-hmm.
It, like, what made HBO HBO, and like Lost almost feels like what made genre television more of a thing, you know what I mean? So they both skyrocketed, I think, a lot of big TV movements, mm-hmm. but that are so different from each other that it's so weird to think about them airing consequently. I feel like people that watched like both shows live right now are listening to this and being like, you dummies, yes, they aired at the same time, who the fuck cares?
yeah I know. I should ask my dad, because he was like, I think he loves The Sopranos. I think he was a big fan of Lost too. I know he definitely watched it. But it's funny because I remember, you know, my parents watching Lost growing up, but I don't remember Sopranos like being on TV at the same time. But that's probably because I shouldn't have been in the room when Sopranos on TV, to be fair. So,
all right, 2007 talk aside, let's jump into the finale. Oh boy, is this a finale. I think this is one of the best season finales, not just of Lost, but of any show. It's just such a banger. I had the privilege of syncing up with Priya to watch it, and I had genuinely so much fun seeing her react over the BW fan. But the biggest twist, and I think we need to just talk about the elephant in the room first, is the We Have to Go Back scene. So I would just love to know off the bat, what were your reactions? Did you see any of it coming beforehand, or was it truly a shock to know that Jack is off the island?
It was definitely a shock, because I guess I didn't expect it, even with, you know, like the season finale in it leading up to like, oh, we're going to try and get rescued. Like, I never really believed that they were going to get rescued. And to be fair, we still don't know if like this Jack getting back into reality and Kate and whoever else may be there. We don't know if that's actually from this rescue or how far in the future it could be.
That's true.
But in the back of my mind, again, because I feel like I've talked about this before, having some faint memories of Lost, I do sort of feel like I remember them getting rescued at some point, or like being back in reality. But I was almost anticipating for it to come later in the show. So it was definitely a bit of surprise, especially the way throughout the episode that you don't know through the flashbacks until the very end whether this is happening before or in the future, especially because Jack is talking about his father, you know, like the prescription is from his father. He's like, go down to my father's office and ask him. And he has a beard in both, and it's still not clear whether those are the same time frame flashbacks or different. And I know I texted you about this, Shruti. I think Jack's father is still alive.
Fascinating.
In the present.
In the present, yeah.
Interesting. I've a lot of questions about that theory, but let's get back to that because I just want to tap all flash forward stuff first. I do think like the little way, so full disclosure, I knew watching the season 3 finale my first time. Oh, this is a flash forward, because I was also spoiled on the fact that they got off the island, and I was just like, oh, okay, I kind of see it coming. That said, it's still a brilliant finale. Like, I think it's so well executed. The way just different people react to things, you know, there's little clues that they put in the show. For example, Jack is using a Motorola Razr that weren't out in 2004. When he goes to the funeral parlor, the words on the funeral parlor is an anagram for flash forward. All things that, like, you wouldn't figure out probably while watching live. You're like, the second episode airs consequently, you don't really have time to theorize about it. But it's just so fun that, you know, it's a day and age pre, you know, Jonathan Nolan getting tilted over Westworld fans figuring out his twists, that creators could see little things to their fans and they could just eat them up. But anyway, Preeta, let me hear your flash forward reaction thoughts.
I agree. I think this entire finale is fascinating. I think it works really, really well for reasons that we can get to. The flash forward is so exciting. I figured it out, I think, just slightly before we meet Kate, because the last time we see Jack kind of slumped over in his apartment, there's this oceanic stuff all over the room. And I was like, I think I texted you, is this in the future? Why is he, like, what is he investigating? Why does he have so much oceanic stuff? I think it's so exciting to kind of get, it's a new place setting, essentially. They're kind of starting to clear out the things that I think Mike and I were starting to get a little bit tired of. I loved the flashbacks that we had so far, but I think that the showrunners felt that they were at the limit of what they could show. I also was thinking when we saw this new era for Jack with the opioid addiction. First of all, very cutting edge to do opioid addiction in 2007. It's like, you know, really at the forefront of opioids. But when we saw Jack have this whole new era, I also was thinking, wow, that's a lot of life that he's had before he got to the island. A lot of different things to fit in, different traumas to fit in. And so it definitely makes sense that it's an after. But I think clearing the deck sort of that stuff, giving them room to play with flash forwards moving forward. And then I'm sure we'll get to this, but clearing the deck of some of the others that I was definitely starting to get tired of and needed to see our actual losties have a win of some kind. I thought the finale succeeded so well on all of those fronts.
It's also strange because as much as I loved the finale and especially the ending with Jack and Kate, afterwards I almost had like this sinking feeling, right? Because I was like, this was so good, and now they're really taking a leap forward, I think, in terms of opening a can of worms. And then I just like immediately thought, I'm like, oh God, I'm like, I hope they don't just make a mess of this, you know, because I have, you know, heard the criticism that like later seasons of Lost aren't the best. Although Shruti has reassured us that season 4 is very good.
Some
people say it's very good. Okay.
I said season 4 is my favorite.
Okay,
season
your
of
favorite.
Lost, but I just have the most affection for it. Okay. What I will say,
but like, I'm worried like it's just gonna get too messy with like island stuff and then being back wherever, you know, everyone else ends up. So we'll see.
I think that's a valid concern to have. I think that's important to know that, like, if you think about it, season 1 and season 2 is when they were running those back-to-back marathons, right? Damon Lindelof gives that analogy. It's like running a marathon, and at the end of the marathon, they tell you you have to run another 26 miles, and you have to make another 26 miles of story because you didn't plan for that. So by the season 3 finale, they have the end point. Mm-hmm. So now the next 3 marathons that you see, the third marathon was planned at the point that the first marathon started, if that makes sense.
Yes, okay.
And see,
that said, I do think season 6 is kind of weak, so don't think that season 6 is going to make everything make sense.
Yeah.
But I don't want you to think, oh, everything's going to be a mess now. I actually think everything is more planned now.
That's good.
That's how it felt at the tail end of season 3. It felt so assured. It felt really confident. There were like little plot things that you know, I was like, I don't know that we need this, but from a writing perspective, it felt like we were done treading water and now we're like swimming forward.
Speaking of swimming forward, one
beautiful,
clever
one man will not be swimming forward into season 4 with us.
R.I.P.
One man that Mike was ready to say goodbye to, Mike, did you feel ready to say goodbye at the end? Did you feel that the greatest hits, the penultimate episode of season 3, redeemed him at all? Before you answer, I want to play a little voicemail that Priya left me after she watched Greatest Hits, the penultimate episode of season 3.
Just calling to say hi and also to tell you that I watched the Greatest Hits over lunch today and actually thought that, who's the actor who plays Charlie again? Mary Pippin. I thought he was really, really excellent in it, and it actually like really tugged at my heartstrings several times. And I was like, Jesus, Mike, grow a heart, you know?
Did you grow a heart, Mike?
I did grow a heart. I did. He, you know what though? I like, it was perfect. It was perfect.
Oh my God, I'm so thrilled, Mike. You have no idea how happy I am.
I think his time was up, and he earned the death, and they really found a nice way to close out that character and redeem him a bit in my book. I don't apologize for anything I said about Charlie
no,
in the past. I think it was warranted, but I think unlike some other characters that have had maybe a stronger story and then a weaker ending, Charlie, although I was done with him and I was like, I'm ready for him to die, I think it was a good piece to the story and they handled it very well. That being said, he could have made it on the other side of that door and shut it. Like, there was plenty of time for them to both get out of there. But I understand, you know, why they did it.
If Charlie could get out of the door in time is definitely a frequent discussion, to the point where before y'all got to the season 3 finale, I was talking to people who are tracking your Lost journey through our podcast and saying, like, I'm really worried that Priya and Mike are going to hate Charlie and like it's not going to be an earned death. And now I'm re-listening to the Storm podcast, this podcast that I first listened to when I first watched Lost, listening to their spoiler section being like, we're so worried everyone hates Charlie. No, like, I think it's a frequent concern, and I think it's a testament to Dominic Moynihan. I'm tripped up now because of the voicemail. A testament to the writers that they really, really earned that death at the end of the day. And I think that because of that, it would really not make any sense if Charlie had ran out of the door. Like, it would spoil everything. And also, I think that Charlie, first of all, he's, like, under a lot of pressure. He can't really think. But I think in his mind, he's been told, you drown and Claire and Aaron get off the island. And so he has come to terms with this death. He's ready to die. And he's like, I got to do this to get Claire and Aaron off the island.
Correct. And also, isn't this whole issue just solved if you say that the door does not have an external lock? It can only be locked from the inside. Done.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, solve the issue. I think you're welcome, everyone.
I think the room that they are in is big enough
that it would flood very slowly.
At the rate of water flow, that they could take some on before they, you know, they would have time to dive out of there, I think.
I will say, I've watched the season 3 finale, that final scene, maybe 10 times now. It never gets old of saying, Desmond, run in there. Penny is on the screen. You just need to run into the room. She's right there.
It was so beautifully done. I think, the one thing that I knew about Lost coming in genuinely is not Penny's boat.
Like, you had just seen the image of Charlie. Did you know it was Charlie, or you just saw a hand that said not Penny's boat on it?
I knew it was Charlie.
Interesting.
I knew it was Charlie. I knew it was not. I knew he wrote Not Penny's Boat. I didn't know what that meant, but I knew Not Penny's Boat. And people always say Not Penny's Boat, Not Penny's Boat in a variety of contexts that I never paid so much attention to. So I knew Not Penny's Boat.
It's just funny to me that you say people always say Not. I've never heard anyone. I had also seen the image prior to watching Lost, but it wasn't like, oh, everyone is saying Not Penny's Boat. It's the
Everyone's
new phrase.
Talking about Not Penny's Boat. Yeah, literally.
It's a catchphrase.
I don't know. Now that I know what it is, I think when I finish Lost, I'm obviously going to go back and like mine the internet for all the times it's referenced.
Which, hey, if you ever buy a boat, what a great name.
Well, Not Penny's Boat. So I am sitting there watching this. It's so beautiful. It comes together so well. It lives up to the idea of what you have for Not Penny's Boat after you've heard it over and over for years and years. And I'm saying to my partner who's sitting next to me, I'm just like, this is iconic. It's just really, a really lovely, beautiful moment of television. And I know why it's so famous now.
It's so good. And we were talking about all of the top moments of television in, like, the Jack flash forward, the Charlie hand scene. And still we haven't talked about our favorite scene in the whole finale. And I know it's everyone's favorite scene in the whole finale, which is Harley coming in with the VW van. I killed them, dude. I killed them all. Can you hear me?
That's when I think I texted you in all caps, like, this show rules. This is awesome. Yeah. It's so good. Yeah. Harley coming in with the van, Sawyer and Juliet, Saeed and the ankles. It's just absolute perfection. It's so good. And that's what I mean. I think that things have been so bad for our characters this season, starting with, like, the cages and the punching and almost killing Sawyer and, like, that horrible Danny Pickett person. Like, things have been really dire, and we just really needed a win. Like, we needed something to go right and to feel optimistic and positively for them, because things have otherwise really sucked, and it delivered so well in that moment. It felt like a huge catharsis, a huge release. And then I understand, followed by what Mike was describing, this, like, sinking feeling that something else is going to go wrong, obviously. But that moment was needed.
What a great line by Sawyer, too, when he just says,
"That's for taking the kid."
No, I didn't believe him. Oh, that one, too. Yeah.
"That's for taking the kid off the raft." "Duty was over. He surrendered." "I didn't believe her."
Yeah, I was like, correct. You're correct, Sawyer. Absolutely. I didn't either.
He's so good. It's so good. And I, even like the second or third time I watched the finale, I was like, I forgot that he shoots Friendly right then and there. And then, you know, like, there's so many still surprises that come up.
I did like Tom, though. It's too bad. I liked Tom. Of all the
why
others.
Why did you like him?
No, of all the others, I liked Tom. I don't know why. He just seemed...
Because he played football with Jack.
No, he just seemed like, you know, a little more human than some of the other ones, I guess. Even though he was a bit of an ass.
After the fake Jin Bernard Saeed shootout, and Jack goes like, "You hear me? I want to kill every single one of you." You know what I mean? The way Friendly goes, like, "Yeah, Jack, I hear you." There's a sense of, like, mutual respect there that no other ever shows the Lost.
Yeah.
I feel like. "Yeah, Jack, I hear you. I just shot your friends." "Not really, but you think I did."
Yeah, like, I think, no, I think, but yeah, exactly. Like, I think Tom was a bit of a realist. Like, he understood the dynamic between their two groups. And I don't think he really, you know, ever made excuses for anything. I think he was in a scene I really liked with him was honestly, like, when he's in the operating room with Jack. Mm-hmm. I think we saw a side to Tom.
He was able to admit when they were reaching the limits of what they were able to do. Like, he did not carry this belief that they were, like, perfect, all knowing.
He didn't seem, like, deranged like some of these other fucking people.
Okay, well, while we're talking about the others, what do we think about this man that doesn't seem to age, Richard? We've seen him while Ben was a child looking just as handsome as he looks today. What's up with him?
So, I'll be honest. I wasn't sure if watching that, and knowing that it's Lost, I'm sure that it was intentional, like, that he's this guy that doesn't really age. But, like, when I first saw it, I was just like, oh, is, like, this their, like, half-assed attempt to make him look younger? They just, like, threw some longer hair on this guy.
Same. I thought the same thing. I was like, oh, he has 70s hair, I guess. Yeah,
it's decades early.
I know, but it completely, I don't know, green. I just thought, like, it was just, like, maybe lazy
and, like, men in Hollywood.
No, I mean, that's fair, because, like, if you look at, and the way they age and de-age Locke for flashbacks is by
exactly.
Giving hair.
So I thought the same thing. Yeah. I did not actually realize he was supposed to be the same age until I was.
But that's a good point, that he probably just isn't really aging. I like him, though.
Wait,
I
didn't realize he wasn't aging until just now when I broke to you?
No, I just didn't really consider it that much, I guess.
I will say, I don't think I spoiled it for you, because there's that one line where it's Ben's birthday and he says, "Don't you remember birthdays, Richard?" Mm. Like, that's supposed to be.
I really
like
him, though. I really like him. He seems to be a bit more, I guess, level-headed and not as crazy as Ben. I just really hate Ben. And so him being sort of, he's not, it's not like he's the opposite of Ben, but you could tell like he's not always 100% behind Ben, and I think he questions him a bit as a leader. I find him to be an interesting character so far in terms of like new introductions to people. He feels like he has a sense of purpose, which I appreciate.
Yeah. It's really a cult, right? It's like a cult where,
yeah, led by Jacob.
Led by, right.
I do not like the Jacob thing.
Yeah,
by the way.
Me neither. We can get back to that. It feels like a cult led by Ben, who pretends that it's led by Jacob, and a variety of people who are buying in to different extents. But yeah, like the jamming of the satellite phone and all of these things that he does to sort of keep people in order and keep people in line. And I think something interesting that we're eventually going to find out is why the never aging Richard seemed to have power and then Ben overtook him, and what role he really plays in the whole thing.
Yeah, because Richard represents, right, like Richard is coming and going, right, because we see him.
He went to go get Juliet. Yeah.
Yes.
He's drugging Juliet intensely.
But to me, so like Richard represents almost like this other nexus, like this other body, almost like when we first met Richard, I got the idea that he was really behind whatever and a liaison of whatever this organization is that is perhaps running the island and running the others. In Ben being sort of the one on site, on scene, who is running things and reporting back. So then Jacob really like threw a wrench in that, because I'm like, oh, so they're all like just falling in line to whatever this imaginary Jacob guy is saying. And then you have Richard sort of working side by side Ben. So it's still, I think like that's a great question. Like obviously like Ben is running the island like a cult, right? But I think the question is Ben really still the head honcho?
Is he in charge?
Is there something greater to this even beyond Jacob? I don't buy this whole Jacob thing. I just can't get over
something
it.
Something that I just thought about. It is weird. Something I just thought about. I wonder if Richard can still leave the island now that the submarine is blown up.
Good question.
Which we have to talk about that. Submarine. I've never hated John Locke so
much.
Thought
it was awesome. I love John Locke. Blow it up.
Oh my God,
blow it up.
Mike, what
no,
the heck?
No, blow it up.
We have different ideas of what a villain
yeah,
is.
Yeah, for sure.
So, I mean, okay, I was upset at the sub blowing up because I'm all for sisters reuniting, and the sub blowing up meant Juliet couldn't reunite with her sister. But why were you pro blow up sub, Mike?
Yeah, Mike, convince me.
Because I think the whole thing's a farce. They were never going back.
That's valid.
They were never going back.
Except now they are, or at least Jack is.
Yeah, but through a different method, like... And again, I'm going to use the Michael and Walt thing. Like, Michael and Walt took off a boat. Clearly, they didn't make it back. Walt is here on the island, or at least maybe he's an apparition to John Locke. But, like, I don't believe that Michael and Walt just made it back on that boat, just like I don't think Jack and Juliet would have made it back on the submarine. But again, I don't know. It's like, who you believe? Do we believe everything Ben says? Do we not? I don't know.
Well, so yeah, it seemed like Ben, at least for my interpretation of the scene, and I don't think Britha agrees with me, is that Ben wanted Locke to blow up the submarine. Do you disagree, Britha?
No, I don't disagree.
No, I think that's fair.
I agree.
I think that even if Ben hadn't succeeded in manipulating Locke into blowing up the submarine, I agree with Mike at the end of the day. Those two people were not... Mike, Ben would have done something to prevent Jack and Juliet into getting off the island.
But he was running out of options, I think. I think he was genuinely running out of options. Like, when they come to his apartment and they're like, thank you for keeping your promise, I think he feel like he probably didn't want to let Michael and Walt go, but the same thing, he ran out of options.
That's true.
And I think we see by the end of the season that Ben is not perfect. He's very good, but he's not perfect. Like, even when Mikhail finds out about the Canada women through the looking glass – Ben has to say, I lied. because in that moment, he can't think of another reason. He is able to then manipulate Mikhail into doing exactly what he wants him to do. But I don't think he wanted to tell everybody that he lied about the station. He does find himself in scenarios where his back's up against the wall. And I think that's what happened with Michael and Walt. And I think that's what would have happened with Jack and Juliet. And when John Locke showed up, he was like, oh, great. I don't. There's a whole lot of space between me and this wall, baby.
Great analogy. Let's talk about Mikhail really quick. Priya is not a fan. Mike?
Not a fan in what sense? Like,
I think he's an interesting character. I'm not a fan in the way that I'm not a fan of anybody who is pro-Ben. And he has proven himself to be extremely pro-Ben. He's a pro-Ben guy. He does what Ben mm-hmm. wants to the very end. And that is not for me. I only like people who are anti-Ben.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I don't like this guy. I don't root for him. But I do really like him as a character in the show. And I thought it was he's definitely pro-Ben. But I thought he uncovered a very interesting aspect of their cult-like status of, you know, following orders and what does that mean to every single person and how seriously do you take that? My big thing with him is I was like, these people never fucking learn. Kill him! Kill him! Put a bullet in his head. Like, I don't know how many lives this guy has, but they need to fucking do something about it. If they tease his death one more time, I will lose it.
You're talking about Mikhail?
Yes. If in season 4, he comes back from the dead a third time, I'm going to freak out.
Yeah.
John Locke has come back from the dead. You didn't mind that.
When did John Locke come back from the dead?
Or you don't think he was, I mean, Ben shot him, but you just don't think he died completely?
No, he didn't die. I think he.
You thought he bled a little bit.
I think.
No, if Christopher Moltisanti didn't die, then John Locke didn't die.
This podcast contains spoilers for The Sopranos.
I mean. No, I don't think John Locke came back from the dead. John Locke just picked himself up by his bootstraps and climbed out of the ditch. Mikhail, we were literally led to believe twice now that he was dead. Although
that's true. He's still limping.
Yeah.
So,
although I will say it did not come as a shock to me. The second I saw him laying there with the thing in his chest, I was like, oh, this guy's coming back.
Yeah, he bled out of his brain.
He is also breathing. But I think that's more of a production error than the clue to the audience.
Yeah. But when he's laying on the ground, just with the thing in his chest, I was like, they need to go shoot him. I was like, shoot him now.
That we sort of know because we know there's a harpoon in there. And I don't know if harpoons kill people, but... yeah, I just don't know. Never mind.
I want to get into season 4 predictions, but I think we do need to say goodbye to two of the most influential characters in all of Lost. We really miss them. They're buried alive, sadly.
Oh my God.
The expose episode, probably one of the most iconic and divisive episodes of Lost. They didn't know what to do with Nikki and Paolo, so they decided to bury them alive. How did y'all feel about that?
Jesus Christ. I will say, when I was watching it, I almost, I don't know, I guess I was expecting, or I thought maybe there's a chance that they would, claw their way out of it. I don't know how that would happen, but it's Lost. So I was like, I didn't rule them out completely, that they were gone.
Yeah, I totally agree. Why would you have them open their eyes at the end, have her open her eyes at the end if she wasn't going to come back? I also did not think that they were going to die.
But then after
from the burial.
After that, honestly, for the episodes following, I just completely forgot they existed because they were...
I almost forgot to mention
because they were so insignificant.
Yeah, when you said, let's say goodbye to two characters, I literally didn't even know who you were talking about until you said the names. I love the episode. I thought the episode was so fun. It would have been even more fun if we could go back and see those actors in prior versions of the scenes. I understand that it was a retrospective.
Dude, this was so funny. Priya texted me like, oh my god, were they actually, because there's a lot of retconning, right? Like they show Nikki and Paolo in the live together die alone scene. Like, I actually think it's really fun and creative. And Priya's like, oh, were they actually there? And I was like, no.
That would have been sick.
They're obviously retconning.
Imagine.
But how would they have been there? They just had those very, well, what's that? What's Hector Escatón's name? That's a famous actor who's just in the background of season one.
Yeah, absolutely. That would have been sick if they were like, listen, three seasons from now, you're going to have your moment. Trust us. But I did. I thought it was a really cool episode, really fun. I think it is absolutely the most insane, brutal thing that has happened on this show to bury two people alive. Like, that is insane.
Yeah, behavior. If you think about Cuddly lost favorite Hurley, he's now killed many people, both by burying them alive and by driving over them in a BW van.
Yeah, no, there is definitely, there is a sense of darkness, like, watching that unfold, because it's, like, juxtaposing it by, like, how somber everybody is in that moment, and they're, like, saying, like, these last words, and then they're, like,
I just don't understand.
There.
I thought that too many spiders bit them so that they went past paralyzed into dead. And I think that is actually a much nicer way to go than literally being buried alive. It's so horrible.
I heard some theory, and I can't...
On network television. Buried alive on network television.
I can't corroborate this. I should have looked it up ahead of time. But there's something in the rule in the Lost writer's room that they couldn't do a flashback episode if the POV flashback character was dead. So they had to be paralyzed throughout the episode so they could do those flashbacks, and then they died.
That's a dumb rule. Bad rule.
I mean, who knows? Maybe it's fake. It's just like something I heard at one point in the Lost experience. All right, let's make some season four bets. When I first watched Lost and Game of Thrones and Succession, etc., I often make betting series to make predictions with what's going to happen in the show along with while we watch.
Yeah, there was a New York Times article about you and your betting series.
There was a New York Times article about the Succession betting series, but I believe that the Lost betting series is more famous because Damon Lindelof has actually seen this betting series.
Whoa. Wait, so season four is shorter, right?
Season four is the writer strike season.
Oh. Okay.
The 2008 writer strike happened. So originally they said, like, this is in the Carlton Cuse and Damon Lindelof had a podcast that went consecutively with Lost. I believe when the season three finale aired on the podcast, they said, you know, we have a plan. We're going to do three more seasons, each 16 episodes. That obviously didn't happen because planning never really works out. But season four was like, oh, strike it immediately. And then there was, you know.
Going back to what you said earlier about the Sopranos, fun fact, but season four of The Office was also the writer's strike season and was a truncated season. So imagine watching those two things on a weekly basis, The Office and then Lost.
All right. Crazy.
So the first question in the betting series, it's fun because I have responses for what the folks I was watching with in the Slack, that were watching along with me also said, so I can tell you what other people thought to these answers. But the first question, the biggest question, who's dead? Who is in that casket that Jack went to visit? Neither friend nor family.
John Locke. Because I think that phrase is key, right? Neither friend nor family. So who would we think about of everyone on the island? Who would he not call his friend? Because I think most people there he would, right? Like, Hurley's his friend. Tom is his friend.
They play football together.
And I think it's really, in my mind, it's narrowed down between Ben and Locke, right? And especially because, Jack wouldn't call Sawyer his friend. I mean, maybe he would. Maybe they get to that point. Because I do think, like, they're growing a little bit on each other.
Sawyer called Jack his best friend.
My only friend. The closest thing I have to a friend on this island.
Great Sawyer impression.
Thanks.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, if that was Sawyer, Kate would be there, right? When he asks her if she's
exactly
going.
I think that's the other That's the other important piece, is that nobody else is there.
And so other reason why I feel like it's Locke, and that I feel like Jack is compelled to go to this funeral, is because Jack is also compelled to get back to the island. And who has been the one person that is like, the island is special, like, we need to be on this island, and that's John Locke. And I think by that logic, the only other person it could be is Ben, because obviously Ben is also inherent to the island. But I just don't, I feel stronger about Locke than I do Ben.
Interesting. I think Locke and Ben are both really good guesses. The other thing that I would think about is just that it's someone that we haven't met yet who is going to be so lame. Well, I think it's going to be someone who is the reason that they get off the island and things
so that could be cool.
Get dark, or things get, yeah, and like things are not good clearly for Jack. We don't really know why, or like what happens for them to get off the island, but like something something dark.
Okay. Next. Oh, let me tell you the results of this one. Hold on. 50% of people thought it was Locke. 25% thought it was Sawyer, which is interesting. 16% thought Ben. And then we have some stray Saeed, Juliet, and one Michael? Question mark, question mark, question mark.
No, see, because all those people he would call his friends. Juliet, Saeed, Michael, they're all friends.
Michael is the only one who maybe. Yeah. Are you telling me that no one showing up to Saeed's funeral? Get out of here. Saeed's funeral home room will be packed to the gills.
I just checked who I bet. I bet Sawyer. Interesting.
And Kate Bad wouldn't bet. Go. Hmm. What were you thinking? Yeah.
I don't know. I wish I could go back in time and ask, but unfortunately I'm here and I cannot give any additional insight to why I bet that. Okay. Next question is, who made it off the island with Jack and Kate? I believe I did it where, like, you get 1 point for every correct answer or whatever, half a point for every wrong answer. We can just let me know who you think it is, I guess, and don't go crazy.
I think I said everybody. I think I said everybody except for the people who are already dead.
Okay, so you...
We know that Claire and Aaron do.
Interesting. So you really went for the whole shebang.
The whole shebang. Here's what I think could potentially happen is that Jack and Kate have to make some hard choices and sacrifice some people in order to get them.
Do you think we have to eat them?
No, probably not. Leave some people behind. But in order to get them off the island, and then those people are still there, which is why Jack's like, we have to go back. Yeah. Because why else would Jack want to go back? Unless there were people there that he hasn't rescued yet.
No, I think he's like totally lost his mind, and he's drifted into the Locke camp of like, there's something special about the island, and that's why we need to go. Because he wants to crash, you know, like, and he thinks, yeah. I think it's like a destiny thing. Like, he thinks if the planes that he keeps going on crash, he will be brought back to the island. Because that's the other thing. It's like, he's like, sometimes I fly to Japan, sometimes I fly to Sydney. He probably doesn't even know where the island is, you know?
Yeah, no, yeah.
And clearly, like, he's lost it in his real life. So I think he, you know, felt a sense of purpose back on this island, and that is why he wants to return. I guess I was, when I filled out this question, I was a little concerned about losing the half points, even though statistically getting more right in the full point would be better. So I was very selective because I thought about...
You are competing against one person.
And I want to win. And so I'm glad we have two very different strategies here, because I was...
Wait, Britha, did you already fill it out?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, good, good, good.
So I was more of the mindset of, I just wanted to be like, who am I certain that I think would take the opportunity to get off the island? So Claire and Aaron, I think I said Saeed, I think I said Sawyer, obviously we know Jack and Kate, I think Hurley would take the chance to get off the island. But then I start thinking of people who have a reason to stay behind if they wanted to, you know, Rose and Bernard, Sun and Jin, perhaps, like if there's a pregnancy issue there. Obviously I think John Locke wants to stay back. Ben wants to stay back. I don't even remember if you listed him as an option. Juliet wants to go. I think Juliet makes it off. Or I could see some kind of tragic end for Juliet. No. I don't know if she's going to get her sister reunion. I'm sorry.
Mike, quick question for you before we go on with this bed series is your theory about Jack's dad still being alive. Can you expand a little bit on why you think that's the case?
Oh, yeah.
Well, again, like just going back to the flashbacks, Jack is talking about his father as if he's still alive in terms of the prescription. And then when he's also talking to the other doctor, there's definitely several possibilities for why this is. Either Jack has completely lost his mind, or Jack is, trying to let on, like, use his father, I guess, as some sort of cover for why he needs this medication. I don't know. Or, you're right, it's not exactly clear whether or not those flashbacks when he saves the woman are the same as the future flashbacks. I think the only thing that we have to let on of whether or not they're the same is that he has a beard, right? But other than that, it's not clear. And just thinking back to season one of Jack seeing his dad on the island in these visions, the empty coffin, obviously the island has a weird way of bringing people, right? Like the magic box, and it brings Locke's father there. And so, you know, I'm thinking medical background, Jack's father, he could be part of this. He could be part of this nexus, this institution that has taken a hold of the island.
He's part of Dharma or the others, because I guess.
Yes, yeah. So I think he's still alive. I think we're going to see him again.
Good theory. Will we see Walt again this season? That means season 4.
Oh, yeah, we have to. You can't just tease me with 5 seconds of Walt and then not bring him back.
Agree. I wonder Walt's if like Walt's going to... Yeah. I wonder if Walt's going to be Locke's little, like, ego talking to him now.
Ooh.
But here's a question. Like, do we think that was the real Walt?
I
Or was
don't.
That merely an apparition to John Locke?
The latter.
That was just, like, the island? Or, like...
Yeah.
Like a vision that John Locke saw.
Interesting.
Yes, I think so. Something about Walt, we still don't know like why Walt was weird or what was going
He's
on with
special.
Him or what tests they were doing, but I think something about his like spirit is linked to the island.
Mm. We got work to do. They have to show the work. You can't just say we got work to do and
exactly
and leave it
show
that.
Us the work.
I texted Priya when that happened. Noted John Locke hater Priya Marate. That sorry that John Locke still has work to do here.
He
on
still
this
has
island.
Work to do. Remember, Walt also didn't want to leave. He burned the raft.
That is true, but that's just because he liked it here and he doesn't want to move again. That was so sweet.
That's what I'm saying.
Speaking of which, will we see Vincent again? I hope so. I like the dog.
He's a sweet dog.
Okay, who is the him when Kate says I need to get back to him in the finale? This is at the airport.
I think that's also someone we haven't met yet. I think that we are moving from phase one of the show to phase two of the show. And so I think a lot of the answers to these mysteries are going to be people we haven't met yet who are going to have a significant role in the upcoming seasons.
Mm-hmm. I can't remember. Did I say the answer? I can't remember if I answered Sawyer.
Here, I can check who you said. You said Sawyer. Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of don't like that answer anymore.
I said a parole officer of some sort. That was my answer when I first watched Lost.
She willingly wants to get back to him?
Maybe she's like on parole and like she's still a fugitive.
True. I don't know. I'm on Priya's side. I think somebody we haven't met. I don't think it's her ex-husband.
Ugh, lame. Okay.
Not lame. Great.
Team parole officer.
Move forward with us, Shum.
I know the answer, and I'm still team parole officer. okay. This is a stupid question. We don't have to talk about when Jack will find out Claire is his sister.
Yeah. Does that even matter? I feel like that doesn't matter at all.
It was a question to make a question, but in general, I don't like... I don't think for podcast discussion, discussing how the show will be paced is very interesting. Agree. Before we end the show, and I would love any of your final thoughts at the end of the betting series, but before we end the show, of course, I need to do my usual Rose and Bernard gushing praise. I love how she's like, repeat the phrase for me, Bernard. And he's like, I'm a dentist. I'm not Rambo. And then when like push comes to shove and they need information, Bernard spills everything.
Oh my God, Bernard.
It was painful. I mean, okay.
This is what I love about the show is that like there's Jack who's like, I refuse to kill Ben because I want to show him that I'm going to succeed, right? His ego, obviously if Ben died, some plot would stop. Like his ego's feeding the show. And then there's Bernard whose lack of ego and lack of sense of self is like, I'm going to keep this plot moving forward. Here's what happened. He's great. Also, it's the moment of Rose and Son both finding out that their husbands are alive, I think is very sweet and very well earned.
Incredibly sweet, I agree.
How are y'all feeling about Juliet? I know Priya's a fan.
I like her.
I think she's just a fascinating character. I think she's so interesting. She's the one character who has like genuinely mixed motivations and has a lot of different threads pulling at her. So I think she's super interesting. I think, you know, she's the one other who actually did good things throughout the time. Like, no one else has actually helped. And so I think that...
Hey, don't disrespect my man Carl like
that. Oh, Carl. I don't even count...
Carl's a hero.
I don't count Carl and Alex as part of it. Right, they are on the outs for sure. Carl is okay. Living in the woods eating bloody rabbit. He's not part of it.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. Carl's done good.
Priya texted me that she doesn't trust Naomi while we were watching the season 3 finale. Do you still continue to not trust her? I mean,
yeah,
Charlie
obviously.
Is saying this is not Penny's boat.
Correct.
So. Yeah, it's not
she
Penny's
said
boat.
That she was sent by Penelope Widmore, and it is not Penny's boat.
And it's like so fascinating just thinking about whether or not Ben is telling the truth, right? Because there's so, like, he's so manipulative and he's very tactful in terms of when he decides to tell the full truth and when he is fibbing. And so it's like, I watch him say that and I'm like, I believe you, Ben. Like, I believe you. I think probably the more realistic outcome is that both of those things are true. Like, we can't trust her and it's not Penny's boat. But maybe it's not for exactly the reasons why Ben is saying it is, you know, at the same time, because he has his own motivations. But long story short, no, I do not trust her, and I'm glad that John Locke shot her. But it was nice to have an Italian-speaking character on the show. I did appreciate that.
Yeah, among many other languages.
Are we done? Do we have any final thoughts?
I think so. I'm excited to watch season 4 now.
I know. I can't help myself. It really, like, I finished season 3 like over a week ago, and then I just rewatched
The end of season 3 also just like
flies.
Like,
I know.
Really
you can't
hard.
Stop. The last 3 episodes are like.
From the brig on. Oh, wait. We need to talk about the brig. I'm sorry.
I was like, oh, I'm only going to watch one episode tonight. And then it turns
out. Oh, that was the most hilarious thing because Priya wanted to keep watching and she was like, what episode is Mike on? And I texted Mike. He's like, I'm on 18, but I'm going to go watch some movies for the next few days. So I think I'm going to take a break. I read that. No. I'm like, there's no way you're going to watch episode 18 and then pause.
Yeah, no, I stayed up late. Haven't been able to sleep since.
The Brig. Sawyer has accomplished his goal, his one life's mission. Of killing Sawyer. Anthony Cooper fucking sucks. I rewatched the episode yesterday. He's such a tool. How did you all feel about it?
He's disgusting. I think that speaking of performances that ruled this season, Josh Holloway in that episode I thought was fantastic. He does so much with his face. He's so emotional. He has such a wide range of things going on. I thought that was an incredible episode, and I thought Josh Holloway was incredible. And I actually had to look up whether or not he'd won any Emmys, and he hasn't, and I'm sad.
And I got mad because you're not allowed to look anything up ever. Just text me.
I know. I was very careful. I promise.
I think it's really sad for Sawyer's character, because I feel like over the last three seasons we've seen him slowly start to like change as a person and really soften around the edges, and I think like revisiting this past and being able to being forced to deal with it, although it has been like his motivation, it also flipped a switch in him, and I feel like is sort of reopening the chest on some bad behavior. And like the second that he shot Tom, I was like, oh, this like stems back directly to him killing the real Sawyer. Like I feel like had he not done that, I don't think he would have the motivation or the wherewithal to really pull the trigger in that moment. So I fear for him. I fear for his future.
He's calling Kate, Kate now. That means something's up. Do y'all remember that moment in the finale?
Yeah, I thought it was a nice, bringing it around when she says, you've been sleepwalking since, mm-hmm. since you got that tape from Locke, because it like reminds us of the break, even though so much has happened since then that it feels like a different show, but I like that line a lot. And yeah, I think it's an interesting kind of philosophical question of we always feel like something is going to make us feel better, like completing some action, some act of revenge is going to make us feel better, and then it doesn't. It brings up way more complicated stuff.
Oh, I thought everything was going to be great for Sawyer now. It's the end of the show.
I hope
Jack
so.
Jack Selby Island show's over. Great job, everyone.
Show's over. We saved him.
All right, well, that brings us to the end of season 3 of Lost. Our next episode of Chaos on the Set will be breaking down the Oscar nominations in 2 weeks. But then after that, in a month from now, we will have an episode bringing all of Priya and Mike's thoughts and theories from season 4. I know, I'm really upset about it too. I wish they would slow down, but they want to watch all of season 4 in a month instead of taking 2.5 years to watch the show, which is how it should be watched. Anyway, on that note, let's wrap up this week's episode of Chaos on the Set. Priya, do you want to share where folks can find you?
Yeah, I'm not terribly exciting on the internet these days, but follow me on Goodreads at Priya Marate, and it's 2024, so time for a new reading challenge.
What's your goal?
My goal last year was 40, and I did not meet that goal, so I think this year I've set 32, and we'll see how that goes.
And you can follow me on Letterboxd, which apparently is going to be able to log TV shows soon, which I don't know how I feel about that. I think I'm anti, but you can follow me on Letterboxd at M Riccardi, and maybe one day I'll be able to log Lost.
Ooh.
I'm also very upset. I used to be pro Letterboxd adding TV shows, but my friends have convinced me that it might be a nightmare. So we'll see. Maybe it'll be executed well. But anyway, you can follow me on Letterboxd at Shruti Marate. You can follow me on Twitter at Micro Marate. And then again, you can follow the show on Twitter, Instagram, or Letterboxd on all three. We're at Chaos on the Set. And if you have any longer things, thoughts, theories, you want to email us, you can send that to us at chaosonthesetpod@gmail.com. Again, that's chaosonthesetpod@gmail.com. We'll talk to you soon with some Oscar thoughts and theories.